right. Today's message is entitled, Men, We Are in a Battle. Have you ever seen somebody do something and you say, why on earth did they do something like that? Okay, they do it because of something they think and they believe about life or about the world. How many of you here have ever believed a lie and acted upon it? Okay, well, I did that once. Once in a football game, I was playing strong safety. And it was my job to cover the slot back man for man. Those of you who know football know what I'm talking about. And the other team ran a play, and the slot man was coming at me. Well, the quarterback, he threw the ball to the wide receiver way across the field. And I immediately responded so that I could make the tackle. And I went toward that wide receiver. And everything was working perfectly until the receiver stopped and threw the ball downfield to a man who was all by himself. Because he was my man. I didn't even bother to look back. I was so afraid of what might have happened. Now, the other team set me up for that play. They knew I was the leading tackler on the team, and they knew I was quick to respond. So they took what was one of my greatest strengths and turned it into a weakness by setting me up. All they needed was just 2 seconds. How many of you know 2 seconds can mess up your life? 2 seconds. Now, chances are, Brian, I want you to do the camera. Chances are, I'm not the only person who have been scouted and set up by somebody. Some of you, you listened to somebody tell you a lie about some money and you ended up in bankruptcy. Some of you, you listened to a lie somebody said, the street life will do this for you, and like Brian, you ended up in prison. Some of you believed a lie that this was free, easy sex. And you went for it, and now you got child support payment and baby mama drama like you never thought you would have. Some of you believed a lie about what drugs and alcohol had to offer you, and even though God created you to be a leader, you are now a slave to their power, and it has cost you tremendously with those whom you love. It's all because we believe something that was not true. Now, all of us here today, we are either living a good lie, or a bad lie, or the truth. Now, most of us don't wake up in the morning and say, I think I'll go out and live a good lie today. We don't say, I think I'll go out and live a bad lie today. We just go out and live it. Why? Because we don't know what the truth really is. You see, about 2,000 years ago, there was a fellow by the name of Jesus. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. In other words, the only way you can get in good with God is you have got to come through me. Now, we are all on our way to meeting God. I don't care how old you are, how young you are. We're all on that same path to meet God. And I don't have anything personally against the Masons, but I have seen enough of their ceremonies where I see men who will never darken a church door. They come in and they do this little march as though they're going to march people into this Mason kind of heaven. That place does not exist. Every once in a while, they'll throw Jesus in there with a line or two. If that's all the religion and that's all they know about God, they have chosen to believe a lie. Jesus never said the Masons was the way to meet God. Amen?
Amen.
Now, some of us may want to argue over, well, Pastor, That's right, you got your opinion and I got mine. There are many ways to be God. Let me ask you this question. How many ways are there to win a football game? Some of you may say, you got to have a great offense to win games. Somebody else say, no, you got to have a great defense to win a game. Others say, no, you need great players if you want to win the game. And others will say, no, you need a great coach if you want to win the game. But the reality is, there's only one way to win a football game, and that is to have more points than the other team at the end of the game. That is the only way you win. Doesn't matter how many yards you got, how many yards you held them, how many interceptions they threw, did not throw, didn't matter how many big plays you had. The question is, did you have more points than the other team at the end of the game? And having Jesus in your life is like having more points than the other team at the end of the game. Now, some of y'all, when y'all go to the football game, y'all go to look at the cheerleaders. Some of y'all go to the football game because y'all just like people who's going to the game. Don't have the faintest idea what's going on. But some of y'all go to the game to really enjoy the game. And if you are attentive enough, if you look around, you will see there are some people at the game. They've got a pad like this, and they got a pen like this. And every time the other team runs a play, they are busy writing stuff down. What are those people called? Scouts. Those people are scouting the team. Why? Because they know they are going to play this team, and they want to know what their strengths are and what their weaknesses are so that they can neutralize their strengths and they can capitalize on their weaknesses. Now, when we look at what is going on with us as men, particularly as African American men, we need to recognize someone has done a very good job of scouting us in order to mess us up. Amen? Now, I don't know how many of you saw the December issue of Ebony Magazine, but it's got some statistics in it that are not encouraging. Of all the groups here in our country that are facing HIV and AIDS, we as black, we experience more illness, we have a shorter survival time, and we experience more death. The article went on to say that over half of the 1 million Americans living with AIDS are black. And nearly 70% of the new AIDS victims among women are among black women. And our youth, black youth, represent 56% of the new AIDS cases that are showing up. 2 years ago, African American children under the age of 13, more of them were living with AIDS than all the other racial groups combined. Now, I know you say, well, I look at people closely before I do something. You can keep on looking closely, but there is an estimated 250,000 people in this country who are spreading the virus who don't even know it. So if they don't know it, how is it that you are going to know it? And then, to be honest with us, we as African American men, we are more responsible for the destruction that's going on than any other person in our race. You see, the HIV/AIDS virus is translated through men mostly by homosexual contact. And then only second is it heterosexual contact. And then third is it drug usage. Now, among our women, they are getting AIDS from heterosexual contact first, and then only secondarily through drug usage, which means we as men are the main culprits in getting this thing done. So if we are going to get any kind of handle on this, we as men have got to make some choices about what kinds of lifestyle we are going to live. Now, when you look at us, back in 1926, when the KKK was just running wild and rampant, back in 1926, we made up 21% of the prison population. By the time 1950, 1950 rolled around, when segregation was at its peak, especially in the South, we made up 35% of the prison population. But by the year 2001, when we got all the freedom we possibly could have, we now making up 49% of the prison population. You look at us and they say, well, why aren't men in church? Well, one of the reasons men aren't in church, particularly black men, 1 in 10 of us is sitting in prison somewhere. 2 out of 3 black males between the ages of 20 to 29, or 1 out of 3, excuse me, between 20 and 29 are either in prison, in jail, on probation, or on parole. What does this mean? It means they all got a prison record, which means when it comes to getting a good job, you got an extra hurdle to climb over. It's not that you're not qualified. It's not that you can't do the job as well as somebody else, but that is going to be a stumbling block there in front of you. Now, here's one that racism doesn't have anything to do with. 65% of black children are born when the husband and the wife are, the man and the woman are not married. Now everybody goes around talking about, this is my baby's daddy, this is my mama's child, or my daddy's mother. It used to be, this is my child, and when you said that, you know exactly who it was. Men, what is wrong with us that we going from woman to woman, having kids left, right, and all the other places? And women, what is wrong with you if you know he already got 2 kids and he ain't taking care of them? Why in the world you think he gotta take care of the one he about to have with you? Now, I admit we are some pretty lousy culprits, but y'all giving us a heck of a lot more help we need than what we need to keep this mess going. This means that the next generation is looking as bleak as this one. In 2003, 45% of us did not graduate from high school on time. And y'all walking around here talking about what is a D, what is a F? It's a way to be poor. That's exactly what it is. It is a way to be poor. If you don't have a high school diploma, you really are going to be going up against some rough times. And while we got all these crazy statistics going on in our society, we've got a music industry, and y'all keep buying their CDs. I have to keep going to the computer room telling y'all, turn that mess off. They are telling you the way to become wealthy is the thug life. The way in order to have a good time is to jump in bed with as many people as you possibly can. They don't tell you nothing about AIDS. They keep telling you the way to solve your problems is violence. I think it is a shame that black women are suffering more abuse than anybody else, and that our women are more likely to be killed by us as men than anybody else. Young women, you need to realize if the man slaps you upside your head the first time, that is the time to just say, I do not need this. I love myself a little bit more than this. But now, y'all dumb enough to sit down with me. He didn't really mean it. You didn't see him slap himself upside the head. And you fellas, I just think it is a crying shame that y'all insist y'all gonna call each other niggas and dogs anyways. I want you to know this. God created men to be leaders. Dogs are not leaders. They are followers. They are something you tell something else to go and do. God did not create you as a dog. He created you as a man. And that's what he intends for you to grow up to be. You see, we start talking about dogs enough, then we start acting just like dogs. We sniff at every little skirt that's coming down the street, and we got kids all over the place. We don't even know where all of them are. even degrade your ears with the names that we are calling our beautiful black women and girls who have been created in the image of God to be presented as presents and gifts to us. And it's not bad enough that we as men are doing that. You as women, y'all have jumped on the bandwagon and y'all calling each other the same kind of thing that you have picked up from us. I want you to know that we are engaged in battle with a ruthless and a relentless enemy. You see, our kids are being stolen from us by the streets and by the dope dealers and by the pushers. We're being killed in the streets with black-on-black crime. We are being destroyed by a system that is blind to justice. And the thing is, Jesus told us that all this was going to happen. He told us from the very beginning. He said, the thief comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Who is this thief? Who is this adversary? Well, we find him in 1 Peter 5:8, where it says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Tell your neighbor, he's looking for you too. I want you to realize you've got an intelligent being created that is determined to destroy you. Now, you'd rather believe the devil doesn't exist. That's really just making all this stuff up. But you can believe that lie if you want to. It's one that he put out. For the Bible says he is the father of lies. If you think the devil is just that little fella that sits on your shoulder with a pitchfork and a red tail saying, don't you do that. Go ahead, go for this. That is not the devil, my friend. That is some cartoon you saw growing up with. How in the world can you fight an enemy you don't believe exists? That enemy can do you all kinds of damage. Can put bombs all behind you and you not even aware of. You start walking down the street and bam, whoa, what happened there? You walking over there, bam, what happened there? He got bomb after bomb after bomb and you not even aware of. We can see that even in reality today. Why is the world's most powerful army bogged down, suffering humiliating and painful losses in Iraq? It's because we chose not to believe the truth. We didn't believe the truth about the terrorists. We didn't believe as many of them existed as existed. We didn't believe they have the kind of willpower to fight to the end, no matter what. We thought all we got to do is get Saddam Hussein and it'll all over with. We done had it, what, about 2 years now? And we still no closer to a resolution than we were before. You see, you are in battle whether you believe it and prepare for it or not. And your enemy is far more powerful than you think he is because he's got weapons at his disposal. Now I want you to know God wants to help us out. God wants every man here, even those of us that are screwed up royally, to still become a winner in life. That's why he gave us these instructions. Says there in Ephesians, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand, stand firm. I want you to realize that every soldier going into battle puts on some kind of armor or gear to get ready for the fight. Even your uniform itself is a form of protection, because it keeps the guys that's on your side from shooting you, thinking you are part of the enemy. Now let me ask you this, guys. What is your strategy for making it in life? You see, I run into fellas all the time, sometimes in the streets, a lot of times right here in the church. They blowing off school. They blowing off the church. They tell me, I know I'm going to make it in life. Well, how do you know? I got determination to make it. I want you to know that determination is good, but determination is not a strategy. Now, if you were going to be coaching one of these teams that's made it to the state playoffs in football this week, if you as a coach, each day the players showed up at practice, you told them, I'm determined, we're going to win this game. Y'all determined, yeah, we determined. You determined, yeah, we determined. You determined, yeah, we determined. Everybody is determined. But you don't bother to learn what the other team is going to do on offense. Don't bother to learn what they're going to do on defense. You don't even know who their players are. If they are equally matched with you, you can have all the determination you want to. But at halftime, the score is going to be 39-0, and you ain't going to be leading. You've got to have a plan. Because the word that's translated so that you can stand against the devil's schemes, the Greek word literally means strategies. Now I want you to notice this, man. You are so important to God that the devil has sat down and taken a time to come up with a strategy to mess up your life. Now, if you were not important, do you think he would have wasted his time? If you go to a football game or a basketball game, you will never see the scouts scouting somebody that sits the bench the whole game. They do not write down number 49 sits the bench. First quarter, third. They don't even waste their time. They are only after players who are making a difference. Satan knows that you can make a difference. And he's not a drive-by shooter randomly shooting someone. He is more like a sniper. He's got you in his crosshairs and he said, I want that one. And I am going to get him. He knows you were created to be a leader. He is so confident of what you can become that he spends time trying to keep it from happening. You know what he'll do? He'll let some of us just be tempted with what a leader almost could have been. That's why we have these little leaders of gangs thinking they really going somewhere. They ain't all that. They on their way to jail. Just give them a little bit more time. Or else he'll let you be leader in a situation where you in your home and you think that all a leader got to do is boss everybody else around. Do this, do that, do that. You get this warped view of what a leader is. I want you to notice who your enemy really is. For the Bible says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. So, you see, as much grief as you claim, your wife really is not your problem. Your children are not your problem. Your mama, your father, they're not your problem. Your boss on your job. This thing says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. They are not the ones attempting to destroy you. The devil wants you to keep your eyes on the wrong thing to understand what's happening in your life. The strategy the devil uses is deception. One of the reasons it is so difficult to fight terrorism is deception. You see a young woman walking to you with a bag. Is she bringing you a lunch or is she bringing you a bomb? There was a Chinese fellow by the name of Sun Tzu who wrote this book, The Art of Warfare. He said, all war is based on deception. He says, when you're ready to attack, pretend that you're not. When you're on the move, pretend to be standing still. When you are near, make the enemy think you're far away. If you're far away, make the enemy think you are near. Put out baits to attract the enemy. Pretend you're unprepared. And then when he comes, crush him. Come by unexpected routes and attack unguarded posts. So his method is, strategy is deception. Deception. And then we, of all people, we live with deception when we sit there in front of that TV watching a football game. If they expect us to run up the middle, what do? Run around the end. If they expect a pass, run a draw play. If they expect a sweep, throw the off-half-back option. We keep coming up with things to throw them off balance. And And that's exactly what Satan does to us. You're in a battle zone. Those statistics on AIDS and prison and education, they didn't just happen by accident. This verse tells us that we are wrestling against rulers, authorities, principalities, and powers, spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Satan is not even after you by himself. He got a whole demonic realm looking out, strategizing for your life. Are you thinking the devil can't be after you because you saw him after Glenn last night? Well, he got some imps that can handle you. Because most of us, we're not too strong anyways. All he got to do is, hey, what are you low level being? You go get him. He about gone anyways. He is determined to do exactly what Jesus said he was going to do, which was to steal, to kill, and destroy. And it doesn't take much to look at what a job he is doing already in our community. Now, where is the battle being raged? It's not on the street corner. That's the result. It's not in the prison. That's the result. It's not in the home. That's the result. The battle is being waged in our love and in our hearts. This is where he has to win the battle. You know, when they asked Jesus what were the two most important commandments, the second one Jesus said was to love your neighbor as yourself. I think one of the reasons men, we've got serious problems with loving our neighbors as ourselves is most of us as men, we really don't love ourselves. You see, when I love myself, I'm willing to look beyond this immediate situation to what is best for me in the long run. You see, a young man who drops out of school does not truly love himself. Why? Who do you know that love themselves intentionally takes a night and just start cutting? Well, when you drop out of school, don't you know you're cutting segments out of your life? You're cutting out jobs that could be yours? You cut your way to poverty? A man seducing woman after woman, his problem is he doesn't love himself. Don't you know that if you are out there with all kind of risky behavior threatening your life and the lives of others, you don't love yourself? Man selling drugs doesn't really love himself because he's not looking beyond today. A man who's not loving his wife doesn't love himself. The Bible says that's the one person you ought to love because the two of you ought to be one. You see, we've got a selfish notion of love. Our notion of love is, if it feels good to me, it must be all right. So Satan gets us to believe that feeling good equals loving me. So a lot of times when we be telling folks, ooh, I love you, all we saying is you make me feel good inside. We ain't planning on doing nothing about it because it's a selfish kind of a love. But Jesus says love is being willing to make sacrifices in my own best interest. Okay? Now, if you really love someone and you're willing to make sacrifices in their best interest, how are you having a baby bomb and walking away from it? How are you getting them pregnant in the first place and they're not married to you? That's not in your best interest. That's not even in their best interest. You have our young guys. They'll say in a minute, man, I ain't going to no college. 4 years is too long. So they drop out of school and they sell drugs for 2 years. And they tell me, look at the money I got. Okay, well, at the end of 2 years, that's about the length of before the police arrest them. They get arrested. They call Rufus. Rufus get them on probation. They tell the judge they ain't going to do it no more. 2 weeks later, they back out there again. So this time when they get caught, now they go into jail. They go into jail for 4 years. Now when they've been in jail in 4 years, the light comes on. This was not a good way to travel. I'm going to get my life together. And so they start getting their life together. And when they come out of prison, they back got things together, and then all of a sudden there's this wall that is there. No, we're not hiring you. No, we don't want you. No, you, because this record is following them. And you may say that ain't fair. It isn't fair, but it is reality. Now, they are 7 years down the road, and they don't know what they're going to do, even though they know the course of action. Let's go back that same 7 years. I absolutely hate doing homework, but because I love myself, I'm going to finish 11th grade. I don't like none of my teachers my senior year, but I do love me, so I am going to finish. Oh man, I really would like to have some of these girls who keep coming toward me, but because I love myself, I'm going on to college. Because now I'm in college. I noticed when I was in junior high, senior high, elementary, there wasn't hardly no black teachers. Think you ought to major in education. Major in education. Ooh, I hate going to class in college, but I'm going because I love me. At the end of them 4 years, because I love me, I now got me a degree in education. Schools all over the country looking for black males. I think I'll take that $40,000 job over there, and I get vacation benefits with it. I didn't get that selling drugs. What? I get a pension plan too. I didn't get that selling drugs. What? I'm driving the brand new car, and if the police stop me, they can't seize it. Same 7 years. You may think it's a long time, but 7 years is 7 years where you either making something of yourself or you going backwards. Same seven. Personally, I would like to take the $40,000 a year reward. But why do we reject that? Because Satan says here is something you can get really quickly. You know, one thing I've discovered is that it takes a special gift from God to do certain professions. Some of you are gifted to be teachers. Some of you are gifted to be counselors. It is a gift. One of the saddest thing about being a pastor, and now that I've been one for 25 years, I've lived long enough to see. I can see young people whom God has put gifts in to be doctors. Now, I don't care what you say. All of us can't be doctors. All of us cannot be. But I see this person here is uniquely gifted. And I see them acting the fool. And you know what they're going to be? Instead of being a doctor, they're going to end up in jail with a mind just like Malcolm X. Ended up in jail, brilliant mind, but didn't believe in themselves. Your attitude, I don't care how smart you are, a lousy attitude, you ain't going nowhere. Because you need people to make things happen for you. And the very people who can help you, you be not so alienated, they not gonna want to do anything for you. Our enemy's plan is to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus, on the other hand, said, I came that you might have life, and you might have it more abundantly. Yes. What does that look like for an African-American single man to have life abundantly? It means, first of all, you're going to get the best education that you can. All right. It means that you're going to respect African-American women and all other women. And you're not going to try to take advantage of them or let them take advantage of you just because you're looking for 30 minutes of a good time. It means if you've already screwed up and you got a child, you are going to take care of that child. Nobody should have to drag you to child support court. You ought to volunteer to go. I know of one man in this church who he insisted on going down for child support payments to be made, and the mother didn't show up. But that's what we are called to do as men, is to take responsibility for the mistakes that we made. What does it look like for a married man? It means he treats his wife with respect and dignity and honor. He doesn't know what it is to call her names. In that home, the children respect him because of the life that he lives. Means when it comes to making decisions, you sit down and you talk together about what's the best course of action for our families. You know something? I have won all kinds of sport awards. I've won all kinds of academic awards. I know y'all think I'm crazy, but I really was smart in school. I have got more degrees than most black people see in a lifetime. But you know something? I got the greatest compliment I've ever gotten in my life. My wife came home from leading a conference the other day, or a couple of weeks ago, and she said, you know something? Had to answer a question. And she said, one of the questions was, of all the people you know, who do you admire the most? And she said, I told him, I admire you. Oh. And I just thought, here is a person who knows all my weaknesses. Knows all my mistakes. But somehow, I let Jesus make enough of a difference that she still respected me as her husband and as a man. And there is no greater honor I could receive than that. A man that's willing to lay down his life for his friend, for his family, is greater than any man on Wall Street, any man playing NFL football, any man that did anything else. Because in the end, that's really what's going to matter. You know, when you're getting ready to go to the nursing home, the NFL ain't coming to talk to you. You can shout for LeBron all you want to, he ain't showing up. It's that person that promised to love you through thick, through thin. I want to be able to be like John Hayes and Johnny Hayes, that if I live that long, I want to be able to say it's 59 and counting. Hallelujah. Man, all of us as men make mistakes, but it's never too late to start over right where we are. None of us can go back and change the past, but we can say, starting today, I'm going to be a different kind of a father. Starting today, I'm going to be a different kind of a husband. Starting today, I'm going to be a different kind of a young man. I'm going to learn what it means to love myself so that as I rise up, I can pull up those who are attached along beside of me. When God told Joshua to go and lead the people, he told Joshua, he said, be strong and be courageous. It's good to be strong. It's good to be courageous. But that's not enough. The last thing God said was, and follow my word that your ways may prosper. Then I want to see us all prospering. I want to see us becoming the leaders, the men that God intended for us to be. We can show the world that African-American men are some of the greatest gifts that God has placed on the face of this earth. Amen. Let's pray. Hallelujah. God, I want to thank you for the men and the boys that are here this men's day. Lord, some of them may be feeling discouraged because of some of the mistakes they've made in life.